Welcome to our first Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists podcast for 2021. My name is Vicky Harris. I'm Head of Learning at the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists. It's Wednesday the 20th of January, and once again, I'm delighted to be chatting with Derek Munn, the RCSLT's Director of Policy and Public Affairs. We're going to find out from him what's been going on and what's coming up. Afternoon, Derek.
Hello, Vicky.
Thank you for joining me again. I was reflecting on 2020. It's obviously been a challenging year. And former Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli is quoted as saying, "There remains no education like adversity." So I wonder, thinking about the challenges of 2020, what positives have come out of it too? And what for you is the key learning to come out of the year just gone?
Thanks, Vicky. And thanks for giving me advance notice of this one. It's quite nice to be able to reflect a bit before we plunge back into lockdown three and COVID-19, as we will in a couple of minutes' time. So reflecting on what, if anything, good could be said to have come amidst it all in 2020, I came up with four abstract nouns, actually, not in any order of priority, just thoughts that occurred to me. The first one was visibility. The visibility of the profession has been demonstrated, and we've had perhaps more than usual coverage in mainstream media and recognition within government, the NHS, the wider systems, that we've had a chance to show just what it is that speech and language therapists do. So visibility was the first one. The second silver lining was flexibility, where people have reported to us that some of the steps in the bureaucracy have sometimes been taken away. And if you've got a good idea or you've got good practice that you need to spread, people have just gone, okay, get on with it. There's no time to go through all the hoops and hurdles, and necessary as those sometimes are. And so that would be my second one, flexibility. Solidarity, in the sense that, and we're seeing this now actually with the third wave, speech and language therapists, you know, extending support to each other and support in what each other do. And it's been really, you know, difficult as the situation is. Back last March, and again now since the new year, speech and language therapists saying, what can I do to help out? What can I do to pitch in? So my third silver lining would be solidarity. And the last one would be around inclusivity, in the sense that we have been able to work both with members of the Royal College who we know and work with all the time, but actually with a whole bunch of new members who have always been there doing outstanding work, but who we've not had that national level contact with, and widening the circle of expert members that we work with. So my four silver linings: visibility, flexibility, solidarity, inclusivity.
Thank you, Derek. That's an amazing set of abstract nouns. Thanks for sharing those. All nations of the UK are, as we record, back in lockdown again, and it looks like that's going to be the case for some time. What is the RCSLT doing to influence governments in the four nations in the COVID-19 response, Derek?
Governments, Vicky, but I think I'll also cover the NHS and the system as part of that. There's loads, of course, and it's dominated our work since New Year, as it should. The three biggest issues in January so far are probably protective equipment, vaccination, and redeployment. So on protective equipment, people will know that we have a long-standing determination to make sure that those speech and language therapy interventions, which we believe evidentially generate aerosols, are recognised as AGPs within the relevant guidance. Public Health England have updated their guidance, which is on behalf of the whole UK. They haven't accepted that the evidence base is yet there. We disagree with that profoundly. And for the long term and for the future, we are going to continue to press the case around procedures which are aerosol generating. But right now, as we speak in mid-January, there is a more urgent situation. You know, we know that 46,000 health workers are off because of COVID-19. That's more than the huge numbers who are in hospital. And what we are saying is PPE is not the shortage that it was back last June. We urge the system to apply a precautionary principle. we urge people to get FFP3, to get the right level of mask in a particular situation on a precautionary basis. That's the way to say thank you to health and care workers for what they've done. Secondly, vaccination. Clearly, some speech and language therapists are stepping up and volunteering to be trained as vaccinators. We want to support that, make sure that essential services continue, make sure that the insurance is in place, all of that. But also, those speech and language therapists who are working on the front line do qualify as a priority group for the vaccine. Now, it's important to understand that doesn't mean every SLT who is HCPC registered. It means out there working on the front line. And of course, there will be prioritization within that group. But there's a bottom line here. If you're a speech and language therapist and you're providing face-to-face therapy, you are a frontline health worker. And that applies whether you're NHS employed, independent sector, or wherever. So making sure that that is recognized and followed through has been our key point on vaccination. And the third has been around redeployment. Colleagues will remember that we did a lot on this last spring. Before Christmas, the UK, England Children's Minister, issued a letter saying that therapists working in SEND should not be redeployed. Now, clearly the new variant and the third wave have changed everything to some extent, but it is possible to make sure that essential services, be it for children with their life chances potentially being held back, or be it for stroke survivors, or whatever other group, be it for adults with learning disability in the community, all of these people can continue to get service at the same time that we as a profession redeploy where we can and play a part. And getting that balance right has been the third big ticket issue on COVID-19 in January so far. But we've continued to work on placements for students. We've continued to work on long COVID, post-COVID syndrome. We're still aware that the issue around clear masks and their safety and provision is not finally resolved. So all of those areas are still in the mix as well.
Thanks. There's really a lot to think about there. I wonder, as we look to the year ahead, what are we doing to influence governments on other issues and what are our key campaigns?
Okay, so government and politics, like all of us, struggles to keep business as usual going alongside dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. I think UK government, which is effectively England for our purposes, the big ticket issues are the long-awaited white paper on mental health reform is now out. We've waited for it for ages. We're going to be engaging heavily with developing the appropriate response to the proposed legal changes for mental health. It's England and Wales. The second area is the rollout of ICSs, integrated care systems, which many of you will know on the ground, are increasingly the vehicle for planning and provision at local level and making sure that the profession is appropriately and effectively engaged with ICSs is a second area. And then the ongoing issue that's in Parliament is the domestic abuse bill, where we continue to push the case around domestic abuse and the links to speech, language and communication, both for survivors of domestic abuse, but also for perpetrators. COVID-19 ongoing issues looking forward, we'll continue to be working on rehab and telehealth, remote working. And within remote working, we know that there's an issue around digital exclusion, digital inclusion, digital poverty. And that's something actually, I had a meeting only this morning with the government minister to discuss precisely those issues. On the proactive side, please do keep pushing the service user survey, which is open until early February, really critical to enable people to tell their stories for speech and language therapy during COVID-19 and support our influencing going forward. And the communication access symbol launched before Christmas. Brilliant that we've now had well over 1,000 organisations and individuals engaged with it. We're planning the rollout for 2021. Please do continue to play your part in that. And thank you.
Marvellous. Thank you. What's happening in the nations that members will be keen to hear about?
Devolved nations, just to mention a few things because there's too many to cover. Northern Ireland is probably the area most affected by Brexit. And we are having contact from speech and language therapists in Northern Ireland, either because they live and work across the border, because they practice in both jurisdictions, and their issues now around regulation, potentially, which could be tricky. But also, it looks like there are some cases where people are crossing the border to seek service. And again, that can affect the independent sector. So there's a bunch of issues around Brexit, particularly in the Northern Ireland context. In Wales, we're very pleased to be continuing to work on the rollout of the speech, language and communication delivery plan for children, which is called Talk With Me. It's a great plan that we were heavily involved in, and we're working with Welsh Government on the rollout of that. Listeners to this podcast regularly will know by now that Wales and Scotland have devolved elections coming up in May. There's some discussion about whether they can go ahead. At the moment, the assumption is that they will. And particularly in Scotland, we are continuing to press the case for an overarching piece of inclusive communication legislation to be something that the Scottish Parliament takes up in its next term after May.
Thank you, Derek, for that, as always, excellent roundup of what's been going on. As we finish the podcast today, I'd just like to remind listeners, this podcast does come out on a lot of different platforms, including iTunes, Google, Alexa, Spotify, SoundCloud, and many more. And to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, I recommend that you subscribe. Also, on the same note, Derek and I will be meeting again in about a month's time for our February catch-up.